Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of an Advent and Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll send you a CD of Todd's Advent and Christmas sermons.
Christ calling me and you figure repent. He's calling me and you figure repent now.
I know that the world is gearing up for the lights, decorations. They're already out at the Wilkin House. A festive time, a joyous time, a time for celebration. But before that, in the church's life always comes repentance. Although it seems a bit of a downer in a season that's all geared up toward joy, do the two go together, repentance and joy? And what is true repentance? Luther kicked off the 16th century Reformation with very famous words in the 95 Theses. When our Lord Christ commands that we repent, he commands that the whole life of the Christian be one of repentance. Really? The whole life? I mean, that means every day, every second, every moment from beginning to end. That's a different picture of repentance than a lot of Christians have. Dr. Stephen Hine joins us to talk about repentance during this penitential season of Advent. Dr. Hine is director of the Concordia Institute for Christian Studies based in Monument, Colorado. He taught theology for more than two decades at Concordia University, Chicago. Dr. Hine, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd. It's good to be with you today.
Repentance is a bit of a downer for the Christmas season we find ourselves in. What are your thoughts?
Well, we make certainly one step forward today when we wish one another Merry Christmas instead of Happy Holidays. That is, that we try to keep our focus in an understanding that that event that we will celebrate on December 25th is the birthday of our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, as we focus our attention on our Lord Jesus, of course, the question is, what is the significance of Jesus? Now, if he has just come into the world to give us a good moral example, to be the man among men, or a new Moses, then, of course, probably encouragement and maybe a review of last year's actions would be most in line. But we recall that the angel said that he was to be named Jesus because he would save us from our sins. And when it comes to being saved from sins, of course, sinners need to have an appetite for that, and that's where the whole issue of repentance comes in. Without a repentant heart, there is no hunger for a Savior. We might have an interest in reform, and we might be interested in being religiously inspired, but a Savior from sin, that repentance is necessary in order to receive.
Okay, before we, and we'll get to this on the other side of the break in some depth, is repentance something that we work ourselves up into? Is it, first and foremost, an act of our will, a product of our efforts?
That's a very good that's a very good question. I think we ought to understand repentance to be two things. First of all, it's a spiritual virtue, and it is therefore something quite above what we sinful human beings are capable of producing. Second element about repentance is to understand that repentance is not some kind of a behavior. Confession, as in confession of sins, is a behavior, but repentance is a condition of the heart, and it is a condition that God himself produces. And that's important for us to understand. It involves a change of mind or heart, and that always presumes that somehow there was a natural state before the change was made. The natural state, of course, in relationship to our God and our own attitude about our sins in relationship to him is one more of uncaring or rebelliousness. So repentance involves a virtuous change that only God himself can produce. And maybe we can go into that a little bit more after the break.
And we certainly will. Dr. Stephen Hind is our guest. It's fitting that we talk about repentance, even though the world leaves repentance far behind. The church remembers it. There are two great penitential seasons in the church year, and we're in the middle of one of them. Of course, the one that's more well-known, probably because the Roman Catholic Church observes it so openly, is Lent, and it leads up to the time of Christ, Holy Week, Christ's death. But you know, the church has always marked the birth, the incarnation of Christ, in the same way. Leading up to the celebration of the Christ Mass, we have a season of Advent, awaiting his coming, first and second coming, with repentance. Now, Dr. Hind has already pointed out that repentance is something of which we are incapable. So what is repentance when we come back, and how is it that we are put into, given this state in which the Christian is called to live each and every day? We'll be right back.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
From His Fullness, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
We who are utterly empty, with nothing in us but sin and corruption, we receive from Jesus, this child, everything that He is as both God and man. The fullness of deity dwells bodily in Him.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon for any size, year-end, tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us as we approach the end of 2009.
For sinners only. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The business of abortion.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
After years of escorting women from their cars into the Planned Parenthood clinic where she worked, Abby Johnson changed her mind about abortion. Johnson said she became disillusioned with her job after her bosses pressured her for months to increase profits. She saw her clinic move from one that pushed prevention to one that focused on abortion, and points out the money wasn't in family planning, the money wasn't in prevention, the money was in abortion. The clinic where she worked charged women between $500 and $700 for an abortion. Make no mistake, abortion is a lucrative business.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. It's Wednesday afternoon, 16th of December, coming to you live. Dr. Stephen Hine is our guest. We're talking about repentance during the penitential season of Advent. Of course, not the only time that Christians are called to repent. It's a way of life. It's also, I guess you could say, it is the Christian life in some senses. But we have to have a broader understanding of repentance. Most people think heads downcast, saying, I'm sorry. How would you biblically define repentance, Dr. Hine?
I think we want to understand repentance, first of all, in connection with an apology, as something much stronger. We apologize for things that we may have done. We repent for the persons that we are and have been. It's a much more profound thing. Also, we indicated before, but we can enlarge on the thought, repentance involves a changed condition of the mind and the heart from its more natural state. And the natural state being in relationship to our own sinfulness and our relationship to God, one of rebellion and kind of an uncaring attitude. So repentance involves a change of mind and heart from one of rebellion and uncaring to one of regret and sorrow for one's sin. which includes also the desire to bring about a change in one's life, to live in accord with God's will, that rather than being in an attitude of rebellion about his will for our life, it includes the desire that somehow one have one's life in conformity with his will. So repentance here is understood as a state, not so much an action of mind and heart that is sorrow for one's sin and includes also the notion of, therefore, a hunger and desire for forgiveness.
John the Baptist is a major figure that the church focuses on in the season of Advent. And, of course, John the Baptist seems to be kind of the repentance guy kicking off the New Testament. His message is repentance. He comes preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Take us into John's preaching and teaching by way of repentance.
Well, as John is exhorting repentance, and we want to think of repentance here, and it certainly was in John's ministry, as an imperative that was part and parcel of the preaching of the law. That is the preaching of God's wrath and his judgment upon our sinful rebellion and the manifestations of that that we have in life. There in Luke 3, we notice how the crowds responded to that in verse 10 and following, and they say, well, now, what are we supposed to do about all of this? It's rather interesting, some of the things that he indicates. He says, whoever has two tunics, let him share with one who has none, and whoever has some food, likewise. Tax collectors, of course, are to there to collect only what was due and not to scalp those. Soldiers are asked, what are they to do? And they're, of course, not to extort money from anyone. Or have a false accusation, but be content with their wages. There is one element of repentance that John is pointing out here that's important for us to understand, and that is when it comes to dealing with manifest elements of sin that may be connected with our life, the sorrow and regret for sin is to have with that, to some extent anyways, when it is under our power, cleaning up our act. But on a deeper level, though, repentance involves a sorrow and regret, not for specific things that we may be doing or have done, but the whole manner of our life, which has been either in rebellion or uncaring, about our standing before our Creator. And it is a sorrow and a sense of regret, desiring, of course, God's mercy and forgiveness.
When we talk about repentance being this condition that we find ourselves in, I think what a lot of people say, okay, that's a great way of thinking about it, but how do I repent? What does it look like? I mean, if it's worked by God, if it's not something I can work up in myself, how is repentance done?
Repentance is done, and it's something that God works, and he works it through full-strength law coming to us. Of bringing us through his ministry of the law to a recognition that we aren't, we don't, and that we can't, and that apart from God's mercy in Christ, we stand under his wrath and condemnation. His purpose is to produce that sense of sorrow and regret, at least for the old sinful self anyways, out of fear and alarm of the threat, of course, of his judgment upon sin, should we have to face those consequences apart from his grace and mercy. So we want to look at repentance as a condition that God produces, and as we recognize it is a condition that we need in order that we might desire and continue to feed on the gospel, then what it means is that the Baptist's ministry needs to be alive and well in our lives, and not just as we prepare for Christmas, but as we prepare our lives continually, as Luther indicated, that we might continue to live in the riches of God's grace by feeding on his saving gifts in the gospel. The repentant heart makes us hungry to do so.
Well, you said John the Baptist's ministry should continue, be ongoing.
Yes.
We hear this message of repentance. I think a lot of people say, look, repentance is a fitting message, but that's kind of the evangelism end. We're going to preach repentance to at an evangelistic crusade or during an evangelistic service in order to prepare people to hear the message of the gospel. That's where repentance, but Christians, on a Sunday-to-Sunday basis, day in, day out, they should be making moral improvement. The message of repentance and the need for repentance should be less and less the more Christians progress in their Christian life.
Well, I think that misses something about the nature of what we might call progressing in our Christian life. For that old sinful self remains for Christians and matures and develops just as we naturally grow and mature in this world. And we will not be rid of that old sinful self. It cannot be reformed. It can only be disciplined. And therefore, the ministry of the law is what smashes and bashes that old sinful self, and it is that ministry of the law that produces repentance. In other words, repentance is not produced by simply telling someone that they ought to repent or even commanding them to repent. Rather, we understand that repentance is something that God produces, and he does so when sinners, and that includes continuing Christians in their Christian life, when Christians are confronted with full-strength law. So a healthy Christian life is always going to need a good, balanced appetite of the ministry of the law to produce that repentance, which makes us hungry for the gospel, and then again and again receiving the saving gifts through the gospel, through which he continues in the very same way to produce an ongoing life of healthy faith.
We got about a minute and a half before we take a break. One thing people might misunderstand about repentance as a condition is that they think, okay, it's just kind of this general feeling of malaise about myself, this general kind of helpless feeling I have about my abilities before God. But it seems to me, based on what you've just said, that repentance is, in fact, more specific than that. There are specific sins of which we are called to repent. How are we to know what sins we are to repent of?
Well, I think the ones that we are to repent of particularly are those where God, through his ministry of the law, specifically brings about a sense of alarm to us. They are the sins that we find troubling. They are the sins that particularly move us to a sense of despair. Those are the ones that most focally are those that that the law would focus in upon, that God would have his greatest impact in producing repentance.
Dr. Stephen Hine is our guest. We're talking about repentance on this Wednesday afternoon, the 16th of December. You can join us with questions or comments, your thoughts, your comments, your questions about repentance, 1-877-623-MYIE. 10 more minutes with Dr. Stephen Hine on repentance after this break, 1-877-623-MYIE. You can email us, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can always Twitter us at @issuesetc. At Issues ETC. When we come back, the Ten Commandments. Luther says if you don't feel the need to repent, you don't feel your sin, as Dr. Hine was just talking about, he says, pick up the Ten Commandments and lay them over the top of your life and see how things stack up. Could it really be that simple? Just the Ten Commandments showing us this life of repentance that is ours, even as Christians? We'll be right back.
In constant sorrow.
I attended Sunday services in a beautiful Singapore Lutheran congregation. One local man approached me and asked with a pronounced Southeast Asian accent, "You live in St. Louis? You know Todd Wilkin?"
Pastor Matt Harrison reading from his new audiobook, Christ Have Mercy, How to Put Your Faith in Action.
Who? You mean Todd Wilkin? It turned out this man, half a world away, was a regular listener via the internet, and he's hardly alone. It really is a whole new day. We are witnessing the greatest free flow of faithfully Lutheran information in the history of the Lutheran Church. It is the worldwide moment for confessional Lutheranism. It is Missouri's moment.
You can download Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison at cph.org. It costs only $10.99 to download. This new audiobook is a must-listen for Issues Etc. fans. Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison. cph.org.
The cross is always relevant. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the new Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and the Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you. Issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church.
So what's the fad du jour at your church? Beth Moore, Rick Warren, post-emergent, pre-emergent, or some other move of the Spirit that hasn't quite hit you yet? At the Brothers of John the Steadfast, we're kicking it old school. And by old school, I mean the 1580 Book of Concord. Check out our website for a list of confessional study groups, or if you have one at your congregation, you can let us know. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
We're talking about repentance. Dr. Stephen Hine is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Dr. Hine, before the break, you were talking about this constant state that we live in, and that repentance ought to begin with those sins that alarm us, that trouble us. And I mentioned the Ten Commandments. I wonder if I can do this. Can I take the Ten Commandments and use them, as so many Christians do, kind of like a checklist for my moral progress? I mean, maybe to measure my not my need for repentance, but my lack of need for repentance. Okay, let's just start with number 4, or the second table of the commandments. Let's say, honor your father and mother. I had youthful indiscretions, and I disobeyed them a lot, but I really respect my parents now. Check. You shall not kill. Haven't killed anybody. Check. You shall not commit adultery. 22 years of marriage. Hand to heaven. I can say I've never fooled around on my wife. Check. And I can go down the list and get a clean bill of health off of most of them. The coveting, not so much. The false witness, maybe I don't get a check mark there, but what do you make of my use of the Ten Commandments?
Well, I think your use, first of all, has been incredibly watered down. As Luther understood, the depth of the commandments is telling us something, not just simply of what we have been doing or not doing outwardly, but why we have been doing anything in our life. And all of those particular elements of those commandments wishes to say something about how it is that we're supposed to be loving God with heart, mind, and soul, and neighbor as ourself, and that how everything that we do in life is to have our loves properly ordered where it comes God, neighbor, and then self. So that if we are not fearing, loving, and trusting in God above all at every moment in our day, and we can ask ourselves, were you in the last 5 minutes, then you cannot possibly get to obeying any of God's commandments, for they all require that we fear, love, and trust in Him above all in order to be able to get to the fulfillment of what any of the other commands require. The other thing that's important for us to understand, that if the law is working properly, and maybe our listeners can use this as a gauge for whether it's working properly in their life, the purpose of the law, as the scriptures tell us, is not to inform us where we may be doing anything appropriately or in a way that God would like. The purpose of the law is to reveal sin, not good works or virtue. So if it is revealing good works or virtue, something is wrong with how we are using the law, because God did not give it to us for that purpose. Its purpose is to reveal our sin, and particularly the depths of our sin, and only in doing that is he able then to do something that he wants to bring about. It isn't that he just wants us to grovel. He wants to create for us a kind of an alarm that produces a hunger for the gospel. We are not to look at repentance as a human work. It's a divine work. Nor are we to look at it as some sort of a condition for forgiveness. We're rather to look at it as a psychological condition by which we are in a position to accept and trust in the forgiveness that he really already has for us. Those would become some of the things that I think our listeners ought to understand about how law and repentance and the gospel fit together. The purpose of everything about repentance in the law is simply to bring us to Christ, that we might receive, embrace, and continually live and grow in his grace and forgiveness.
Then do repentance and faith in the same Christ always go together?
They should, and they will go together if we have that proper diet in our Christian walk and life between law and gospel. Through the law, he continually produces a life of repentance, as Luther indicates. Through the gospel, he continually produces a life of faith. So law and gospel go together as God uses them to produce a life of repentance and faith. And thereby we live, of course, in the righteousness of Christ and the forgiveness of sins. And then and from that, good works will flow. And we have that as his promise.
On the subject of good works, Luther's famous for saying, in some context, I obviously must paraphrase him, that the Christian is bound not only to confess his sins before God, those things he recognizes as sins according to God's law, but he is also bound to confess even his good works before God. What does he mean?
Well, I think we confess them in the sense that they are part and parcel of the faith that we call the gospel. That is to say, it's an article of faith. It is something that we believe, because that is to say that it is our Lord who promises that we will be walking in those works just as a vine into the branch produces fruit. It doesn't say that we will see it, and it is in this sense, of course, that we confess it as an article of faith, which is a little bit different than confessing our sins. You get to see your sins in your this life by the law, because it reveals them. But you get to believe in your good works, because on the basis of God's word, by the power of the gospel, you are to believe and trust that God is having his way in your life, producing them.
And someone who says, I mean, how would you respond to someone who says, and I've had guests on this program, rather prominent evangelicals, Ted Haggard, who is formerly president of the National Association of Evangelicals and at one time a pastor of great influence in the United States, tell me that if you're doing it right, the Christian life means you don't have to repent every day, and if you're really doing it right, your need to repent should be less and less every passing day. Your brief response?
My brief response, it seems to me that that is completely opposite to the experience of the Apostle Paul, who I usually see as farther up the road in his Christian walk than me. And Romans 7 is always that place upon which I can look into the experience of one's Christian life who is more mature than I am. if I can read Romans 7, the good that I would, I don't, the very thing that I wouldn't want to do, that I find myself doing. In other words, that as we grow in faith, it is not that our sins appear to be smaller or less important. Rather, as we grow in faith, we see them more clearly, we see them more deeply, and we become more alarmed about them. That is very much the shape of what a maturing faith looks like.
Finally, then, with only 30 seconds, how important is the biblical teaching of repentance? How important is it?
It's extremely important. It is the parallel to appetite to nutrition. With no appetite, you don't eat. If you don't eat, you die. Repentance produces the spiritual appetite for the living water and the bread of life, apart from which we spiritually die. And so, therefore, it is incredibly important in order to maintain a faith life that remains alive, that remains healthy, and that continues to grow.
Dr. Heim, before we let you go, you're going to be heading next year again to Sierra Leone for a pastoral education program. Tell us a little bit about this important mission project. About a minute.
Yes, this is an ongoing pastoral ministry that is being conducted by the Concordia Institute for the past few years over in West Africa. We will be leaving, Pastor Marcus Zill and I, in about 3 weeks for another two-week educational venture with about a dozen pastors from West Africa. It is a labor of love. It is something for which we have been looking for both prayer and financial partners. No one gets paid for this, and those who would seek, who would like to partner with this, I invite you to support us. You can go to our website of our congregation, sslc-cos.org. If you would like to donate for this worthy cause, and on Facebook, I am there, and we'll be bringing reports about our work that we will have next month. So I ask our listeners, please keep us in your prayer that God will keep us safe and use us in building up Lutheran pastors in West Africa in their faithful ministry to the gospel.
Folks, we'll be posting a link at our website where you can find out all about this pastoral education program in Sierra Leone. At our website, issuesetc.org, click listen, go to the on-demand page. Dr. Stephen Heim is director of the Concordia Institute for Christian Studies based in Monument, Colorado. He taught theology for more than two decades at Concordia University, Chicago. Dr. Heim, thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Dr. Ron Rhodes about witnessing to Jehovah's Witnesses. That's tomorrow on Issues Etc. Christ begins his public ministry with the words, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven is here." That message is still true. It is still the message of Christ through his church. He has commissioned his church to go and preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name. Absolutely nothing has changed. The repentance is a call from the law of God, clear, unmistakable, that pins us against the wall and drives us down to the floor under the weight of our own sin, seeing it so clearly by God's law. And then the gospel, Christ's perfect obedience and his sacrifice at the cross that raises us up again as new creatures. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.